Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Kathy E. Smith, also known as Resource Rita of C-Squared Internet Marketing Strategies, and I am your host for the evening for the Prime Show, the PR and Internet Marketing for Entrepreneurs. I'm very excited to have Young Cannon on my show this evening, but first I just want to acknowledge our sponsor, Janine Biggins, also known as the mobile marketing expert. And if you would like her services, if you're a speaker, if you would like the audience to have a copy of your presentation, you can do text mobiling, use text mobile to have them download and also build your list at the same time. If you are an author, you can also have them download a copy, an excerpt from your book, or you can run a contest from all from your mobile phone. So if this sounds like something that may be of interest to you, please contact Janine Biggins at 202-406-0717. And she's also available through getabusinessmobileapp.com and on Twitter as at get you are the letter U, the letter R, Biz Mobile. So I'm excited because I can't wait to talk to Young about her business, and we had a great conversation the other week. So let's get right into it. So welcome to the show, and please share, who is Young Cannon?
Well, I'm glad to be here, Kathy. Thanks for having me. So I'm Young Cannon. I am a business growth expert. What I do is I help entrepreneurs and small business owners create a thriving business and life that you love. I'm also a mother of three. My husband, Tom, and I raise our two sons and a daughter in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Nice, nice. So please share the name of your business and how long have you been in business?
Yeah, the name of my business is Paramount Business Coach. I started it in 2008 after I sold my other three businesses. So I've been helping entrepreneurs full-time since 2008.
That's nice. Now, would you care to speak about your other business? I thought that was phenomenal when I read that about you, that you sold three other businesses.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I originally started a marketing business in the direct sales industry. I was actually right out of college. I figured out it was the fastest way to fund my dream at that time. It was I wanted to perform on Broadway, right, as a young college kid. So I have to say I really was an accidental entrepreneur. It never even crossed my mind to pursue a life of entrepreneurship. So at any rate, I ended up, my first business, I think I worked 60, 80 hours a week. And
wow.
I had this 2-year office lease I was responsible to pay. I had to pay my receptionist. I had sales team I had to pay. And so I didn't know what I was doing, and I knew I didn't know what I was doing. So I had really spent a lot of time cramming, learning how to run a business and cramming how to interview people, how to train people, how to run a staff meeting, how to fire people, you know, that kind of stuff. It was really last minute. I say at that time I was constantly taking this crash course in everything I can get my hands on. I was pretty much on a steady diet of Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar, Les Brown, Anthony Robbins. You know, those are some of the names I studied quite a bit. So it turned out I got pretty hooked on the whole entrepreneur opportunity once I realized, it was funny. My initial goal, I think, back then was to save $25,000. And I thought if I could save that, I could plan on moving to New York City and pursue performing full time.
Wow.
So what surprised me was I thought it was going to take 2 years at least to save $25,000. And by the end of actually my second year in business, the business was hitting $25,000 in sales in a week.
And wow.
That's when I was that's when I really got hooked, you know, and realized, gosh, this is really a limitless opportunity that being an entrepreneur offers. So I actually kept delaying moving to New York, and I spent the next 5 years scaling that business through developing managers, and who then went on to open up, you know, six additional branch locations. So that's how my first real business got started. And then as I realized, like, as I was getting older, my goals did change, and I eventually didn't have that itch anymore to go pursue performing. But okay. I did end up opening up a performing arts center in 1997, and I hired 30 faculty and renovated a 5,000 square foot building.
Wow.
And then what I did is I turnkeyed that business, as well as a retail store, a nonprofit production company, and an entertainment venue. And after 10 years of growing those businesses, I sold them and decided to pursue helping other entrepreneurs full time.
That is a phenomenal story. And you know, Young, most of the time, people build businesses, but they don't build it with the intent to scale or sell. You know?
I didn't really intend to sell it either. That idea never was in my mind. But I knew I wanted to systematize it because I knew I didn't want to be working, you know, full-time hours. I wanted to work part-time. Since I was raising a family at that time, I had started my family on my second business. And, you know, when kids come around, you got to figure out how to get things done in less time. So, but then when my new mission started to surface, and I just had a heart for wanting to help other entrepreneurs, that's really when I started thinking about, I probably should sell these businesses so I could focus on them full time. And that's how it happened for me.
Wow. So you pretty much covered what inspired you to go into your line of business, because you wanted to go to New York and perform. And then you just kind of fell into it almost.
Yeah, it was just, it was like the fastest way I could think of to make money quicker. You know, and that's really all I thought. I'll just run this business for a year or two, and then I'll go to New York. You know, but then I quickly got hooked, and you know, New York didn't seem as glamorous anymore.
So, I must compliment you because I always, I guess, because moving into brand positioning with my business, and more so looking at what people's web presence are. I love your website. I mean, I know that's totally out of order, but
oh, that's all right.
I love your website. And
well, thank you. I appreciate it. I
yeah.
definitely had a very specific brand positioning in mind, and I'm glad you like that.
Yeah. So. What aspect of your business do you enjoy the most? Because you offer mastermind groups, coaching, you're a speaker. What resonates with you the most?
Well, you know, I think that's a hard question to answer because I enjoy them all, which is why I offer them all. I think the piece that I enjoy about them each is what I enjoy the most about it is really working with the right people, you know. Mm. So I love working with action takers, people who are committed to implementing, to getting better, people who are hungry, you know, to improve and to learn. And those are the people. It doesn't matter to me if I work with them one-on-one in a mastermind group or in, you know, one of my group coaching programs, or if they just show up to my seminars. You know, those are the people who really just fuel me and get me. They help me to give my best. And then, of course, you know, sometimes I will get someone who just isn't much of an action taker. And I have asked people to find another coach because I don't want to ruin my track record either of helping people get results. And I just know it's going to be so hard for me to help people get results if they don't take action.
Oh, I love that. I was just having a conversation with my accountability partner yesterday, and we were talking about that. And I just had my first boot camp, I called it. It was like it was 4 weeks, but it ended up being 7 weeks. It was initially a boot camp, and I was just, you know, we were talking. I was walking through, like, do I really want to do group coaching or one-on-one? And I said that, you know, one particular student or client, she was all on top of her homework. She was, you know, asking me questions and giving great feedback, and I get energy from that. So I was trying to decide, do I want to work with people on one-on-one? Although group coaching does leverage your time, you can help more people, but you know, it's all a process.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I certainly charge the most for people who want to work with me one-on-one. But you're right. I mean, you hit it right there, you know, when you said it gives you energy. And, you know, it's progress. You know, people by nature, I mean, this is true of employees in big corporations where they've done studies about, you know, employee engagement. And employee engagement and retention, actually, they go hand in hand. And the number one factor that they found was the difference was the people who were happiest, most engaged, and stayed the longest were the ones who felt like they were productive. They were making progress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's totally the same, you know, for entrepreneurs is we, you know, for the people that I help, I need them to make progress. And, you know, that's what gives us all energy. And so it really starts, it's got to be the person has to show up with that desire to improve. They can't show up thinking, well, I'm going to sign up for this course, or I'm going to sign up for this mastermind group, or I'm going to hire a coach. And, you know, they're just going to magically, you know, put the fairy dust over me. And, you know, my business is just going to transform just like that. You know, so nothing's going to change unless you do something to change. And that's the type of person who I love working with.
Me too. So as you were talking, I was just like, that sounds like me.
Yeah.
And when I asked you what was the aspect that you enjoy the most, it's almost like picking your favorite child. I'm asking.
Oh yeah, exactly, huh? They're different, but you know they're. But you enjoy them, you know. You enjoy them all. I mean, we have the same outcome goal in each of those formats. But
right.
You know, the format is really, I offer it mostly for whatever works for better for the, you know, the business owner, the entrepreneur. So if they enjoy having the small intimate peer group as a part of their journey in helping them improve their business, then the mastermind group is great for them. You know, if they're a very much a DIY kind of person, they just want to learn how to do it and do it as cost effectively as possible, then the group coaching program, you know, is best for them. And then there's the other type of person who just, you know, they realize that time is money and they just want speed. So the speed pass would be the one-on-one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you offer advice for people looking for a business coach. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
So let's start with that.
I certainly have my pet peeves on this one, right? Well, and from my perspective, if you're going to hire a business coach to help you grow your business, you know, the number one thing I believe you really should look for is a business coach who has their own track record in growing their other businesses. Not, you know, coaching should not have been their only business. And so I really believe it's just not enough. It's not enough to have someone who comes from textbook knowledge alone. It doesn't matter if they got trained or credentialed or whatever. If that classroom, you know, textbook theory sort of knowledge, it doesn't give you the same level of insight and understanding into how to help you, you know, get from where you are to where you want to be if they haven't actually, you know, experienced that. And so that's a key thing, especially for business owners, you know. I mean, it's one thing to hire sometimes the term gets tossed around, business coach, executive coach. You know, there are executives who hire business coaches to help them with their executive skills and business skills, and that might be a different ball of wax. But if you are a business owner and an entrepreneur, that is key in looking for that. And I think the other thing to look for is, you know, the business coach it does cover a broad area of practice areas, I should say, like if you think of it as trying to hire an attorney, right? So you want to get clear on what exactly you want to change in your business. So if you know that you have a weakness, that your biggest challenge is sales, and you get lots of leads and you just can't close, or maybe you have a team that also helps with sales. So if that's the case, and you want to look for a business coach who has a proven track record in working with that specialty area within sales. So vice versa, you know, if you know that you need help with marketing and that's not your skill set, and you want to focus specifically on, let's say, online marketing, you know, and then you want to find a business coach who really has a lot of experience and track record in that area. So, you know, there's business coaches out there who really specialize in perhaps helping speakers, you know, to get better at speaking and booking more speaking engagements, or they specialize in helping experts, you know, publish their first book. So, you know, those aren't my specialties, but if that's what your goal was, then you would find a business coach who specializes in those areas.
I love that you said that, because that's so key. I can't tell you how much money I spent in different coaches, but as I've evolved, I realized I need someone that does internet marketing, not just, you know, a general business coach, someone who could speak to the technology aspect of it. So I love that you said that. Like, what is your area of weakness? Not that it's my weakness, but when I talk about, like, using different tools that are common, like, I don't know, explainer videos, or purchasing items off JVZoo, or using Entreport or Infusionsoft, I should not have to explain it. You know what I mean? So I love that you said that.
Yeah, it's so you've got to do your homework on assessing, you know, what exactly you're looking for. And I think a lot of people actually don't do that. They skip right over, and, you know, they just think, okay, I want my business to get better. And I'll give you another example. You know, I had a client who was a long time, he owned a small hotel, and he wanted to ask me to help him launch a secondary business. So anyway, what he wasn't clear on was that he was looking for someone more with a psychology background, because he wanted to focus on the mindset and really get deep into that, you know? And so I had to be upfront with them, you know, saying, look, I can help you. I can help you with, you know, your basic everyday, you know, motivation type stuff that we all go through, whether it's discouragement or being ADD, you know, as an entrepreneur and losing focus and that kind of stuff. But I definitely got it was becoming more clear that he was really looking for more of a psychologist to help him, a business psychologist. And I had to let him know. I said, I think you'd be better suited for, go look for a psychologist. You know, and if you want me to help you with marketing and strategic planning, you know, I can help with your business model, with hiring, finding the right people to hire, coming up with systems. You know, those are definitely things, and we can sprinkle in. I can certainly boost your motivation as far as giving you encouragement along the way and rooting for you. So again, that's another example of really getting clear what you want from someone.
And I think that's an excellent example for you of, like, operating in integrity, because you're like, you know, I can help you in this aspect. And then, you know, a really good business coach, if they can't help you, would just be honest. Or if they don't think you're ready for their program, they'll just be honest and not just take your money.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, you got to listen, be an active listener and take your clues from, you know, where the client, what kind of questions they keep asking you. And that, for this case, I mean, I don't have it too often because pretty much I have a system in my discovery call that will help confirm and validate if we're a right fit for each other. And I guess in the beginning he did, in this example, he did think that he wanted help primarily with, you know, launching that second business. But at any rate, it's just something to think about for people who know that you do need some type of help, a coach, but you want to get clear on what you want exactly.
I'm going to go listen to this right away.
Yeah. Once you get clear, and I appreciate you sharing, Kathy, that you've had hired people, coaches in the past who also really couldn't get you anywhere. And I echo that. You know, I remember going through and learning from each coach that I've hired in my journey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember one woman, she's such a wonderful person and she's got a great heart. But again, it was a mismatch where I thought, you know, I was going to get some more tactical stuff, some shortcuts. And, you know, I'm such a formula kind of girl and systems kind of person. And she really came, her approach was very much like that, you know, psychologist sort of approach, wanting to talk about, you know, the why behind all my thoughts. So I thought, you know what, this is going to take forever. I wanted to get her opinion and her insight, and I wasn't getting it. And I eventually figured out she was never going to give it, you know, because her philosophy of coaching, which is fine, but it just wasn't what I was looking for. Her philosophy was really to help me to process and answer my own questions. And I've already gone through that process by myself. You know, if I knew the answer to my own question, I probably could have figured that out. But so anyway, that's just I have to say, you know, once you get clear on what you need, you know, you also want to get clear on who isn't a right fit for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just love, I mean, with probably not even knowing, a few weeks ago, I did the characteristics of a good business coach, and active listening was one, you know, being honest was one. I mean, you know, just operating in integrity. Yeah. So I just love it. But we have good conversation anyway. So
yeah. So, and the results, I have to, that's got to be part of the criteria. So if you're hiring someone to help you, you know, I don't know, to help you convert 100 new clients a month, you know, and they're saying that they are a sales and marketing expert, then you've got to ask them, you know, can I learn more about the results you've helped other people achieve?
Mm-hmm.
So that's key. If you're hiring a branding coach, then you want to ask them, you know, show me, can you help me understand some client examples, case studies of people you've helped transform their brand? What was their brand before? What was it after? And what was the impact to their business?
I love
that. So yeah, forget to ask for that or look for it. It's usually on their website, but sometimes they're not.
So what are three steps that make your business stand out from the competition to attract clients?
Yeah, that's always the first thing, right? To if you want to grow your business, you want to attract more customers, more clients, the first thing is figuring out how you're going to develop your unique value proposition. And I call that your wow factor. There's
I like that.
A bunch of different ways to go about doing that. But just to start with three, think about as far as how you stand out from everybody else who does exactly what you do. You know, think about the specific results you've helped other people achieve. You know, so kind of dovetailing on what we just talked about, you know, the looking for a coach based on results, you know, at least one of those factors. But now looking at yourself and your own marketing, think about what kind of results that you can communicate, you know, in your marketing message. So it's important to, you know, quantify, I think, help your customers and your clients when they share testimonials and when you ask them to share testimonials, help them to quantify that. You know, so for example, if you go to my website at paramountbusinesscoach.com, you'll see a few examples of testimonials that did quantify. You know, I helped Jack Wilson, and his testimonial was Yun, working with Yun has helped me double my business the first 6 months. So that's very quantifiable, you know, and so he went from 0 to 2 million in less than 2 years. That's quantifiable. Yeah. So you want to think about how you can do that for your business. All right. So one way is specific results. The second way to help you stand out from your competition is think about, do you have a unique process, you know, that no one else really does? So you are the first, you know, blank, put in whatever business you're in, who does it this way. And so that also requires you to know your competition, you know, study your market, find out, you know, if they didn't hire you or work with you or do business with you, who else, you know, what are their other options? What are the popular 3 other options or 5 other options that they could get the same problem solved with another person or another business? And so you want to study their process. And that's going to help you to really bring out what's unique in the way that you do it, you know. And so that's, I think, something that you should always have, you know, that on your radar. The third area to help you stand out from the competition is think about your unique qualifications. And this is an area where I'd say a lot of people truly take themselves for granted, you know, and you think that perhaps everybody knows this stuff. You know, and you've got some unique skills that come easy to you, or you've got, you come from a background, your experience, your years in such and such industry really gives you a unique qualification to be able to help them better than a lot of other folks, right? So you want to think about that. That says a lot. Because I'll tell you, Kathy, when I first started my coaching practice, I actually had the assumption most business coaches did come from a background of running their own businesses, starting and running it. And this was a process for me too. I fell into the same, you know, I guess trap, so to speak, where the first several years, I never even pointed that out to people, you know, because I just assumed everybody else did. I took it for granted. And it wasn't until I had more and more of my clients actually initiate that information to say, hey, you're the third business coach we hired. And you know what? You're the only one who has done X, Y, and Z. And why do you think that is? And as I learned more, I didn't even realize, you know, people were becoming business coaches really coming from a corporate background. And you're right. That is totally different. I mean, my unique experience, I'm able to help the solopreneur because I've been a solopreneur. I am one, right, who's trying to juggle an online business and family and so forth. And at the same time, I've also had salespeople, 30 to 50 of them, you know, where I know what it is to have to, you know, cover people's payroll and health insurance and all of that, you know, and hire managers and so forth. So, yeah, that is a unique qualification. So you have to really think about that for yourself. And sometimes because you don't know that you are so unique, it's good to ask, you know, find 12 people, 10 to 12 people, whether it's your close friends or colleagues, even prospects, you know, potential prospects. You want to just get some feedback and ask questions to help reveal, you know, what are your unique qualifications. So start with those three. And I actually have more on this topic. For listeners who want to just jump on a blog. If you go on ParamountBusinessCoach.com and you go on my blog, I do go into more detail around this. There's a blog called 5 Steps for Small Businesses to Stand Out. But those are the three I can share in the time we have right now.
Oh, I love that. And you know what I also loved? So I should just do a commercial for you, right, Young?
Because hey, but, I'm never one to stop people, but I have no idea what you're going to say. So
no.
Go
well,
on.
What I loved is that you have something on your website to help people identify the target market. And in doing the boot camp that I just did, I realized that maybe that's like too much overload at first if people are new or not too, you know. I guess I really can't explain it, but maybe that was just too heavy, like, you know, if you didn't have a website yet or whatever. But I guess because I want people to, you know, have strategic marketing so they don't waste their time. But I love that you break down how to identify your target market. And, you know, people call them avatars, but, some, you know, I think that's a marketing term or a business term, you know,
yeah.
Who is your ideal client? So sometimes, you know, you just have to be mindful of, like you said, language that you use. Well, you didn't say language, but, you know, things that you just take for granted that everybody knows. But I love that you help people. You give away a template, actually, helping people, outline their ideal target market or target client. So I love that. So I just wanted to mention it.
Oh, great. Absolutely. Yeah, jump on the website. There's a free template there about, you know, what you're referring to, the customer avatar. Coming up with a clear profile of who is your type A client. I think all businesses have type A, B, C, maybe even D.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a D,
mm-hmm.
I'd say get rid of them anyway. I would only keep it to A, B, and C. But your customer avatar should really be just your A clients because you do your marketing messages towards that person, and the B's and C's are going to come. But the A's, you need to get really clear who are your A targets. And just to give you an example, even on an offline business, you know, we do the same exercise, whether it's an online business entrepreneur or if it's an offline brick and mortar kind of business. I did the same exercise with a landscaping company I worked with, right? So they were doing about $3 million in sales, and they wanted to get to $5 and $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a customer avatar. And after the process, they found out things about their customer avatar they didn't really know earlier, but it actually helped them to resonate with them better. Even details like they are Mac users, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they have, you know, they're the ones who respond from the advertising from their mobile device, from an iPhone. You know, they get more clients who are iPhone users than Android users. Like just even knowing that kind of stuff, you know. Really helps. And, you know, we found out that they have their target A client, you know, has a summer cottage. You know, they were mostly
wow.
New York City people, but they have summer homes in Pennsylvania. Not that I ever even thought Pennsylvania was a vacation destination, but, you know, so it's just knowing these things and knowing, you know, okay, so they commute. All right, so then we need to target a lot of the marketing around executives who commute and, you know, speaking. So you really get to in deep into their mindset of what matters to them and where you can find them and how they want their information, how they access information. So that's what a customer avatar can do. So now they can actually save money. By we knew exactly which types of marketing we could stop doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which locations, like quit going to these networking events that are, you know, targeted to such and such community and quit advertising in these publications that, you know, weren't really ever going to get on their radar. And so you can be laser focused on reaching your A clients, and that's huge. And then you really speak. Now, when you do that, too, it then actually impacts, influences the answers that you come up with as far as specific results, unique process we talked about, and unique qualifications. Because their unique process, they had a whole nother, you know, laundry list that opened up when now we're talking about in reference to those type A clients, those executives who had, you know, summer homes, New York executives with Pennsylvania summer homes, like they had a whole new set of unique qualifications why they truly stood out. So now they were a category of one because most of their competitors never even had a strategic approach to communicating to that audience. Their marketing message may have been a lot, you know, pretty much the same for everybody.
And that's how you can stand out too, because if you really know who it is and how you're marketing, you will stand out because you're talking directly to them.
Right. So now they can put specific scenarios in their marketing message, things like, well, you know, we know that you're not here all the time. So as a summer home, you know, we can offer these additional services to, you know, give you peace of mind. Whereas their competitors didn't have anything like that in their marketing message because they were trying to come up with one message for everybody.
So this kind of ties into the next question. What have you found to be some of your clients' single biggest challenge when it comes to finding more customers? Is it, well, I'll let you answer that.
Yeah. Well, I'd say the single biggest challenge, they kind of go hand in hand. One would be that they just don't know how to leverage their core marketing strategies. You know, so usually pretty much all the clients I work with, marketing is not their skill set. It's not their area of expertise. You know, they started a business as an attorney, or they started a business as a professional organizer, you know, or even dog training, you know, like it's just so broad as far as their skill sets. But people start their businesses around their core area of expertise. And so marketing is not something that they have been disciplined around. And so I think one big mistake is trying to do bits and pieces of tips that you might pick up on, you know, 47 different ways you could market. And that's not going to serve you. You want to get clear on at least just 1 to 3 marketing methods that you will continue to hone and commit to. So whether it's advertising plus, you know, online marketing, you know, as far as maybe it's LinkedIn or maybe it's, you know, maybe it's Facebook for you, you know, for lead generation. Maybe it's webinars, maybe it's seminars. So you've got to commit to 1 to 3 core marketing strategies that you are going to practice and be consistent at on a weekly basis. So that's the biggest area. And then I want, you know, dovetailing with that, it would be not having a clear enough idea around your target market. So when you are doing these seminars or webinars or whenever you're advertising, it's not jumping out to your type A clients because you haven't gotten clear enough yourself who they are. So that's how I'd answer it.
Gotcha. So you mentioned it a little bit in what you just said, but we are similar in that we both utilize LinkedIn and help people navigate LinkedIn. So what are 2 things that you think business owners should do to use LinkedIn effectively?
Yeah, you know, first off, I think everybody should have a LinkedIn profile. I mean, why not? It's free, it doesn't cost you anything, and it's going to help you get found online. So whether you are, I mean, LinkedIn is known to be great, ideal for businesses that are B2B, all right? But even for businesses that are B2C, like business to consumer, just having a well-done LinkedIn profile and being just going in it you know, on a regular basis, whether it's once a week or once a day, it's going to help you get connected and speed your networking, your strategic referral partners, and get you some more visibility. So why not? You know, I mean, people should be advertising, and here's an avenue where you can advertise your business and you don't pay anything for it. So I would say, definitely get a LinkedIn profile. Create a great profile, and this is going to be a little hard for me to cover because I have a whole course on this, and it's like a mouthful. But the nugget and the cliff notes to take away is when someone jumps on your LinkedIn profile, you don't want to just have your title, the name of your business, and you know, one or two sentences. You really want to position yourself as the go-to expert, you know. So that's going to go a long ways in people getting people's attention and getting them interested, generating the desire for them to take action in either joining your email list, opting in for a free giveaway that you've got, calling you, you know, whatever the call to actions are for your specific business. Your LinkedIn profile can position you, you know, to generate leads, generate interest, and generate connections. So not every connection on LinkedIn should be valuable based on if it's a lead, because the other half of your connections on LinkedIn should be your referral partners, people who serve the same audience as you, so that if you connect with more of those folks and you let them know you're marketing yourself, your business, your expertise to those folks, you're building confidence and you're building a reputation as the trusted go-to expert. So when they've got clients or people who ask them, oh, hey, you know, by the way, you're a CPA and you should probably know, you know, what bookkeeper should we use? And if bookkeeping's your business, you better, you know, darn well have a long list of CPAs that you are connected with. And so it works like that for whatever business you're in. Create a great profile. If you don't know where to get started, I have a training on that. But just the point here is, to take away is what a great profile can do for you. It helps people to take action. Remember the AIDA principle. AIDA is AIDA. It works for LinkedIn. It works for advertising. It's the same concept with whatever marketing you're doing. Your goal is to get attention, generate interest, generate desire, and that's what impacts action.
Love it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You asked me for two things.
Oh,
all right, so profile. And the second thing would be get involved in LinkedIn group discussions. So there's tons of groups on LinkedIn that's very niched and targeted. So you want to look for LinkedIn groups that are made up of your strategic referral partners, okay? And so if you are a relationship coach and you're specializing in helping people who are going through a divorce, you know, then your strategic referral partners, you want to make sure you're connected with, you know, our counselors and therapists and doctors and you know, divorce attorneys. So you want to get connected with your strategic referral partner groups and then, of course, your prospects. You know, who makes the best prospect for you? So get jump in on those groups on LinkedIn and start participating in group discussions and contribute comments.
I love that. And I think what you said, too, is so key is that your referral partners or, you know, people that are complimentary to you. I think the mistake that people do make is that they join LinkedIn groups, but they like-minded people. I mean, it's okay to be a member of that, but not if your goal is to get new business. You know, if you do social media training and you only have belong to social media groups and not, like, groups that your target or your ideal avatar is, and then it kind of defeats the purpose.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, I'm a firm believer. I mean, of course, everybody should have a website, but definitely everybody should have a LinkedIn profile.
Absolutely.
And if you notice, I would do, this is a great little test to do. Just jump on, you know, open up one of your browsers and Google your name or your occupation. Usually your name you're going to be ranked for. And more times than not, Kathy, you're going to, I'm sure you see this too, people are going to find that if you do have a LinkedIn profile, your LinkedIn profile outranks your website.
And for me, it outranks my YouTube account. It outranks my Facebook and all the other social media. It even outranks, like, when I was published in the Wall Street Journal, it still outranked Wall Street Journal, you know? So
wow.
It's pretty powerful. You don't want to miss being found on LinkedIn.
And, you know, that's so true, because I just Googled myself about an hour ago before, the show, and I had a guest on there that taught you how to get sponsors. She's a sponsorship strategist. So some site I never heard of had my profile and her profile on there. But, I mean, I probably wouldn't have found it if I didn't Google myself. But you're right. My LinkedIn profile is on the first page, like when I Google myself. And it is before my YouTube. And I love that.
Yeah. And I'd say people trust LinkedIn profiles more than they trust a website, because you can see people's connections, and they're real connections. You can see who's recommended you, and that the people behind the names are actually one click away, on LinkedIn.
Absolutely.
So it's I think there's definitely a higher level of trust, at least for a LinkedIn profile that's completely filled out, I wouldn't trust a LinkedIn profile of somebody who put a picture of themselves and it's like a caricature,
True.
They're hiding behind anonymous, You're not going to get trust if you hide behind anonymous.
Exactly. Or put a picture of your logo. I mean, people are, unless they know you, they're not.
Sure. Lots of details, we could get into, and there's more to know, but I think overall, if people came away knowing how powerful even just having a profile to be found online to your business is, that would motivate you to go create a profile.
Absolutely. And speaking of profiles, when, you connect with people or people connect with you, definitely want it to be powerful. So true story, somebody went to connect with me on LinkedIn, and it wasn't a close profile picture. It looked like it wasn't a selfie, but they worked at the Screaming Chicken. And I was like, I don't know this person. I'm not going to,
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know. I get those invitations to connect with crazy photos, too, and I don't connect.
So, oh, my gosh. Well, I knew the time was going to go by so fast. I have so many notes. Would you by the way, Jan has a LinkedIn short clip about LinkedIn on her website. But Jan, would you share how people can get in contact with you and your website information?
Yeah, sure. The best way to contact me, you'll see all my contact info right there on my website. So just visit www.paramountbusinesscoach.com. And you'll be able to grab some free resources that are there. I have a 4-minute guide to attracting high-paying clients, and there's some other resources there as well that are free. And then you can contact me from that.
Awesome, awesome. I'm so glad we connected, and I'm so so glad that we were to have you on the show. And thank you so much.
It was my pleasure.
And thank you all for listening to the Prime Show.